Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, if you'll find the notes that are there in your bulletin this morning, we're in this series that we've called Living by Faith. We've taken it from Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look at the people mentioned there. 11:1 gives us this great definition of faith. It's the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand the entire universe was formed at God's command, and that what we see now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Last week, we looked at a guy by the name of Abel. We learned from him that God says, here's what I want you to give, and I expect you to give it. And so God sets the rules for giving. Once he says, here's what I expect you to give, there's another thing that God does. He says, this is the direction and the road that I'm going. You're welcome to come with me if you want to. And you can seek me and follow after me. That man is Enoch. Verse 5 of Hebrews 11, it is by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists, and he rewards those who sincerely seek him. His story is in Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. When Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. And after the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years. Wow. And he had other sons and daughters. And Enoch lived 365 years walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day, he disappeared because God took him. The only other reference to Enoch in the Bible is found in the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 14. Enoch, who lived in the seventh generation after Adam, prophesied about these people. He said, Enoch said, listen, the Lord is coming with countless thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment on the people of the world. He will convict every person of all the ungodly things they have done, for all the insults the ungodly sinners have spoken against them. Enoch was 662 years after Adam. Now, I think God used Abel and Enoch as his first examples because they were just ordinary men who didn't do great deeds. We don't have any great exploits that they did and they were known for. Instead, what made them distinctive is that in everything they did, they focused on pleasing God. A simple thing, isn't it? Why was Abel's sacrifice acceptable for God? It wasn't because it was a big, impressive sacrifice. It wasn't because it was a big thing that he did. No, it was acceptable because Abel gave his best and he gave what God wanted him to give. Why is Enoch acceptable to God? Not because he had done dramatic deeds, but just simply because he made a dramatic, deliberate effort to walk with God all his life. He lived the kind of life that pleased God. In other words, here's the lesson. God's not necessarily impressed by mighty deeds of faith. He's impressed by common men and women who every day have only one thought in their minds. I want to please God in everything I do and say. That's Abel. That's Enoch. So, what do we learn from Enoch? Well, first of all, it's important to know the day and time he lived in. And Enoch lived in a rebellious time. In a rebellious time. I mean, it was an age of intelligence. Imagine them building cities when there had been no city before, building houses when there were no houses before. What should a house look like? Where are the plans coming from? Who's going to put up the walls? Who's got the staple gun? Who's going to do all these things? Where's this all going to happen? Where are the materials? Where's the chainsaw? Where's this stuff going to come from? What do you do? Nobody has a nail gun. How are we going to do this? And they did it all. Imagine, they took a stick from a bush and made a flute. They made harps. They started and invented music. It began here during this time. They began making tools, the Bible tells us, out of bronze and iron. How they learned that? Where'd that come from? An age and a time of very intelligent people who began civilization and progressed. But along with that, it was also an age of indulgence. You think today looks bad? This is a bad time to live. I just want you to think about this because it's what we're going to see in the weeks ahead. Enoch walked with God and he was not. How bad is the day and time they lived in? Well, God finally says, I've had enough. I'm going to destroy everything. And he looks around and only can find one person. You think today's bad? It was bad. So that time relates to our time, doesn't it? A time of great intelligence. Man, technology and everything is just progressing like crazy. And yet we live in a time of great indulgence where everybody does just what's right in their own sight. And so here we are. And so he lived in a rebellious time. But secondly, Enoch believed that God was real. He believed God was real. Remember what we read earlier, and I'm going to take everything out of those verses we read in the beginning. He believed that God exists. Well, how do I know God exists? What proves me God? Well, the Bible says, look around at creation. Creation declares the glory of God. Well, how do I know God's real? By faith. In other words, I can't give you definite information other than what God's word says, but because God's word says it, I believe God is real. No matter where you go in this planet, someone will be worshiping a god. Many choose to make themselves that god. That usually doesn't go well. Not usually, it never goes well. Well, I'll be the one who sets the rules. I'll be the one who's in charge. I'll be the one who has say over who's this and that and that. And we're good at making our own gods, and we all do. But there is a God who is a creator of everything, and Enoch believed this God exists. Here's what the Bible says about it, John chapter 1. In the beginning, the Word, Jesus, already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. Well, what was before God? Nothing. God has always been, will always be. God is the beginning of everything. Colossians 1:15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see, the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities, the unseen world. Everything was created through him, for him. He existed before anything else. He holds all creation together. Enoch believed that. Enoch believed that God was real. Well, I don't know that God's real, but the Bible says he is. Then you choose not to believe the Bible. So it begins with believing that God is who he says he is and that he's real. I believe God is real. Now, if God is real, that means I've got some choices to make, doesn't it? Yeah. We'll talk about them in a few moments. Next, Enoch had a good reputation. He had a good reputation. Here's what it says about him in what we read. He was known as a person who pleased God. He was known by this. He was known by the way he lived. He was known as a person who pleased God. What do people know you as? When people are looking at you and talking about you behind your back, well, they're a person that, what are you known as? Because here's the deal. Every person in the room, you have a reputation. And here, you've earned it. You didn't have to work at it. You earned it. It is what it is because of choices that you've made and ways that you lived, right? And sometimes we think our reputation is this, but in reality, it's not. Enoch was known as a person who pleased God. Proverbs 16:7. Choose a good reputation over great riches. Being held in high esteem is better than silver or gold. Wow, that's pretty impressive. Proverbs 22:1. Choose a good reputation over great riches. I just read that, didn't I? Okay, let's read Proverbs 16:7. Let's go backwards. When people's lives please the Lord, even their enemies are at peace with them. Wow. If I please God, I have a good, it doesn't mean everybody's going to like me, but it does mean I don't have to be at war with people, because as far as it's possible with me, I'm going to live in peace. Hebrews 11:2, we just read this. It's in the text at the top. Notice what it says. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. You have to earn it. Now, your reputation is what it is today, but it doesn't have to stay that way. You can change it, but you have to earn it. And these people earned a good reputation. Walking with God means that our heart is in harmony with Him, that we have things in common with Him, that we're on good terms with Him, that we have the same frame of mind. God was a pleasure to Enoch, and Enoch was a pleasure to God. That's the reputation I want. I want to be a person who has a reputation that pleases God. That person walks with God. That person knows God. That's a great reputation, isn't it? You have to earn it, right? You have to live it, correct? Enoch had a great reputation. Then Enoch had a pleasing relationship with God all the way through. You know, he lived 365 years. He walked in close fellowship with God. One day he just disappears. The only person in the Bible who doesn't die other than Elijah. The only two people. Only two people in the Bible. Everybody else dies. Enoch had this kind of relationship with God. Amos says this. Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? Here's what God did with Enoch. Here's what God does with you and I. There's a road that seems right to you, but it will lead to destruction. But if you will follow me, the road is pretty narrow, but if you will follow me on it, it will lead you to life. Choose today which road you're going to take. Enoch chose to walk with God. Now, here's how it doesn't, work this way. God, I'm going this way. Why don't you come with me? That's what we try to do, isn't it? Well, I'm going to go here. I'm going to do this. God, you can come on along. Let's go down this way. Come on. We pull him with us sometimes. We try to, don't we? You know what? Never works like that. God says, hold it. First of all, you don't know where you're going. You're not in charge. I'm walking this direction. You're free to walk with me, but I'm not going down any other road. Oh, but God, this road's good. Come on. Well, it'll be good. It'll be all right. And we've all done it, haven't we? Yeah. Yeah. So what does this mean? How do I have a pleasing relationship with God? What does that look like? What would it mean for me to have that kind of walk? Well, I'm going to point out a few things, okay? Number one, Enoch was concerned with God's will. God, what do you want? God, I want what you want more than what I want. Now, please hear me. So many times we get hung up on the will of God. It's really not as difficult as we make it. The will of God is this. For the next hour, will you walk with me? That's it, Pastor? That's all you got for me? What about tomorrow? What about Friday? I got this decision I got to make. If you'll take care of today, tomorrow will be fine. I think the Bible says it some way like this. Why don't you just take care of today, because tomorrow has enough problems of its own. So why don't you walk with me today? And so he was concerned with God's will. Deuteronomy 10:12. Now Israel, what does the Lord your God, notice, require of you? If you're going to bring something, this is what you're bringing. He requires only that you fear the Lord your God, live in a way that pleases him, and love him and serve him with all your heart and all your soul. That's pretty simple. 1 Peter 2:19, God is pleased when, conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment. Any of you ever treated wrong this week? Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you're beaten for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He's your example. You must follow in his steps. 1 Peter 4, if you're suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what's right and trust your loves to the God who created you, for he will never fail you. God, I know this is right. God, I know this is painful. I don't like being in this place and doing what's right, God, is hard, and it's not going well because people don't understand and people don't like me and it doesn't seem to be working out and going the way I thought it should go, and God, I don't know what to do. And God says, just keep staying with me. Just keep up. Keep going. It'll be okay. Don't turn around. Don't go another direction. Just keep walking with me. Conscious of God's will. God, this is what you want. You want me to please you. I'm going to do everything I can to do that. Secondly, he obeyed God's commands. He obeyed God's commands. Deuteronomy 12:28. Be careful to obey all the commands so that all will go well with you and with your children after you, because you will be doing what is good and pleasing to the Lord your God. You see, you don't obey God because it's easy, because it's not. You don't obey God because when you do, everything goes simply and you don't have any more problems, because you still do. You obey God because you love God and want to please him. And you're more concerned with pleasing him than the comfort you're having in your life. And you're more concerned with doing what's right than you are of having your way. Okay. You obey. Here's what I've learned. Well, does God want me to do this or not do this? And when people come and ask that, here's what I've learned. They usually know what they need to do. They just don't want to do it. Well, but if I make that decision, this could happen, and this could happen, that could happen. Yeah, but if you don't make this decision, you're no longer walking with God as you should. And do you understand what that means in your life? And God says, look, keep walking with me. Enoch had a good reputation, but just because he had a good reputation, do you think other people all liked him? Here's what I found. When you take a stand for God, your example, usually other people don't like. Well, who do you think you are? Goody two-shoes? Why? Because it convicts them of what they're doing. And it couldn't have been easy for him to do this, but he obeyed. And he did what God wanted him to do. That's what it's like walking with God. Then he was controlled by the Spirit. By the way, the Holy Spirit is God. He let God be in control and not himself. He let God's words be in control and not his. He let God direct his steps. He listened to what God had to say. He kept his mind fixed on that. Romans 8:5, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. In other words, you're not going to live well. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. The sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws. It never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Wow, if God's not pleased, you're not walking with him, are you? No, you're not. You're not controlled by your sinful nature. You're controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living you. Remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. You're walking with God and something happens to you and you suffer and somebody does something to you and treats you unfairly and you go along and you go, God, what do I do about that? And God says, I want you to forgive them and I want you to keep loving them. I don't want to. I don't want them to go off. God, I want you to get them. You don't know what they've done to me. You don't understand, God. God goes, really? I don't understand? You ever think it's kind of funny that you tell God he doesn't understand sometimes? Yeah. The creator of the universe who made you and knows everything doesn't understand. Duh. Well, I'm not going to do it. And you've chosen to walk another direction, haven't you? And then you wonder why life is hard. And you wonder why you're having troubles. And you wonder why there's problems. Those who are controlled by the Spirit have their mind set on what pleases God, not what pleases self. Then he was concerned for others. Romans 14:14. I know and convinced by the authority of the Lord Jesus that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat, but if someone believes it's wrong, then for that person it's wrong. Now, I want you to stop here because as I finish reading this, I want you to make sure you understand something. This is about much more than just food, okay? And I want you to follow the principle that the writer here, Paul, is going to give to these people because there was a conflict. Well, can I eat this food that's been sacrificed to idols or can I not? What's going on here? What's the deal? And there was an argument within the church about it. So he writes them, and some believe then for that person, it's wrong. And if another believer is distressed by what you eat, and you're not acting in love if you eat it. In other words, well, I don't have a problem with this. Let's sit down to a meal and I'll eat it in front of you. Who do you think you are telling me what I can have and can't have? Don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. Then you'll not be criticized for doing something you believe is good. In other words, you don't have a problem with it, but you know somebody else does, and you know that if you do it, it's going to tick them off. Now, some of you love those moments, don't you? I'll prove to them. They're not going to tell me what to do. Verse 17, the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 18 is critical. If you serve Christ with this attitude, what attitude? The attitude of caring about other people. The attitude of not having to have your way and letting somebody else have theirs. The attitude of saying, you know what, this person's going to have a problem with it. I'm good with leaving it alone. It doesn't matter. It's not that important. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God. And others will approve of you too. Now, if you're sitting around somebody and they're talking to you cynically about this, yeah, but he doesn't know. Please hear me. Just look at them right now and say, you're not pleasing God with that attitude. Philippians 2:12. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what's pleasing him. Pastor, I can't do this. It's too hard. It's too difficult. Hold it. The Holy Spirit, God himself, is alive in you and he gives you the power to do what pleases him. Hooray! Do everything without complaining and arguing. Well, we just lost a whole nother county, didn't we? So that no one can criticize you. This sounds like having a good reputation, doesn't it? Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. He was convinced then of God's provision. God is going to provide. God will take care of me. I can walk with God because God is my source and God is my strength, and God will do for me what I have need to have him do. 1 John 2:15, do not love this world nor the things it offers you, for when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. They're not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. God, you'll take care of me. God, I want your things and not the world's things. That was Enoch. That's how you have a close fellowship with God. That's how you do those things that please God. Finally, Enoch believed that God rewards. Why do we know that? Because we're told about faith. One of the character traits of it is we believe that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. If I follow him, he will reward me. If I follow him, he will take care of me. He will provide for me. Proverbs 11:23, the godly can look forward to a reward while the wicked can expect only judgment. Colossians 3, work willingly at whatever you do as though you're working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you inheritance as your reward, and the master you are serving is Christ. Hebrews 10:35, do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. You see, you and I want our reward now. We're people who don't want to wait. Well, God, I did this for you. I need something now in return. Rather than understanding that as we go along and walk with God, God takes care of us, provides for us, and rewards us as we go, not on our timetable, but on his. And we don't like his timetable. It takes too long. But God says, look, it's not about all the stuff. It's about you and I just being together. It's about this walk that we're on through life. Enoch walked with God how many years? Three? Wow. And you and I are complaining about 80? And he walked so close with God that one day, God said to Enoch, let's go home. And God took him. Wow. 1 Peter 1:8. You love him even though you've never seen him. And though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. I want to walk with God. And here's what I want to hear one day. Phil, you've been on this earth long enough. Let's go home. Let's go home, and God will take me. So here's the question. Are you walking close to God? Are you walking in his direction with him, or are you going your own way? Are you living a life today that pleases him? That takes faith, doesn't it? Because God is. God will be with me. God, but Pastor, I don't understand. Why is this happening? Why is this going on? And why is that going on? I don't know, but God does. And will you trust him with it and let him be in control and not you? Will you do things his way and not yours? Will you walk with him and have close fellowship with him and seek to please him?
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.